Hello everyone, and welcome to the EPH Full Year 2024 Results Conference Call. My name is Ezra, and I will be your coordinator on today's call. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, please press star followed by two. If you have joined us online, you can submit a text question via the Q&A button on your browser. I will now hand over to your host, Gary Mazzotti, member of the board directors of EPH, to begin. Please go ahead.
Thank you and welcome to everyone on today's call. Today I have a presenting team as follows. We have Pavel Horsky, who's the vice chairman of the board of directors of EPH. We have Philip Bielek, member of the board of directors of EPH and CFO. We have Peter Jurek, who's the director of financing for EPH. And we have myself, Gary Mazzotti. I'm also a director of EPH and also a CEO of EP Infrastructure. If we move to page five, we have an executive summary of 2024. The summary of 2024 results I can give you as follows. The transition of EPH to a low emission, vertically integrated energy group is fully on track, with a growing share of regulated and long-term contracted revenues, which is also fully on track. The executive summary one, EPH is a diversified business with an improved and improving EBITDA quality. Our model is relatively simple. Our infrastructure business provides stable, regulated stroke contracted revenue. This is fully complemented by our power generation segment, which ensures consistent secured income through long-term capacity agreements and electricity network balancing services. This is also combined with the ability to seize opportunities in volatile markets, such as we saw in 2022 and 2023. Point two, EPH has signed an agreement to acquire an additional 33% in Slovenska Elektrana. This will take our stake to 66% and will be completed in the first half of 2025. Point three, EPH is now reaching the end of a relatively large investment cycle. In flexible power generation, we have completed two out of three OCGT, CCGT power stations in UK and Italy, which are now complete and operational, with the third expected to deliver in early 2026. Point four, EPH continues to provide critical services and security of supply. We play a key role by the group. EPH holds strong market positions across all of its segments, which can and do provide critical services in Europe, ensuring security of supply. Five, we are a leading contributor to the decarbonisation and enabler of the energy transition. Following the closure of the Kilroot and Mareham coal plants in 23 and 24, and additional cuts that will be made in 2025 and 2026, combined with new and refurbished gas power plants and a large pipeline of battery energy storage solutions, we continue to transition to a low emissions power company. And six, governance change and simplified structure. We were delighted earlier this year to announce a new CEO, Jan Springel, and a separation of the roles of chairman and CEO, with Daniel Kretinsky taking the role of chairman. We now also have a management board, which we believe reflects the size and the progression of the EPH group. If we move to page six, key numbers for 2024 full year, the underlying EBITDA was euros 2.6 billion. The free cash flow of the business was euros 1.4 billion. The net underlying consolidated leverage ratio was 1.7. And the cash conversion ratio, excluding development capex, stood at a very healthy 70%. If we look at underlying EBITDA, we give you those figures 21 to 24. We would point out, and I think I pointed out earlier, that we are able to take advantage of volatile markets, which we did have in 2022-23, but a standard progression from 2021 to 2024 still shows a very healthy growth of 12%. Our net financial debt at the end of 2024 stood at 4.4 billion euros and a consolidated underlying leverage ratio of a very conservative 1.7. With regards to development capex, this dropped to 369 million euros in 2024. And as we said, the majority of the projects are now complete. If we move to page 7, we believe this slide is very useful to explain the EBITDA development of the group as we transition to a low zero emission vertically integrated energy group. We signed the agreement to acquire an additional 33% in Slovenska, and we provide you with some key numbers so you can have a look at what would the group have been and what will the group be with the consolidation of Slovenska Elektrana from 2025 onwards. Key numbers: underlying EBITDA would have been 4.3 billion euros. Free cash flow would have been 2.7 billion euros. The net installed capacity will be 18.5 gigawatts. The net power produced was 50.7 terawatt hours. The development capex was 600 million euros. And the net underlying debt was 7.5 billion euros, which would give a leverage ratio of 1.8. Not radically different to the 1.7 of EPH. In summary, therefore, EPH in 2025 clearly now has a significant place in the European energy market. If we move to page 8, EPH is reaching the end of a large investment cycle. We invest in flexible capacities supported by capacity market contracts. We've invested 1.2 billion, 87% already spent, and as I said, two out of three projects already in operation. In Slovenska Elektrana, the Mochovce Nuclear Unit 4 is expected to start commissioning in late 2025. The end of this large investment cycle has positively impacted the risk profile of the group, and I would point listeners to the call to the credit rating reviews of EPH, both by Standard & Poor's and Fitch, which were published in February of this year. Point 4, critical services and security of supply. In summary, we do. If we turn to page 9, we are a leading contributor to decarbonisation and a neighbour of the energy transition. As I said, Kilroot Power Station, Mareham Power Station, coal stations were closed in 2023-2024. The refurbishment of several CCGTs backed by capacity contracts in the UK and Italy has been completed. We are decarbonising our CHP plants in the Czech Republic in our district heating. And EPH now has a very large pipeline for BESS projects, with FID totaling now 700 megawatts. Group is therefore almost free of all our coal assets. We have effectively only two left, one of which is a power plant in Sardinia, which operates on a must run, and the other being the CHPs in the Czech Republic, which we will effectively move out of EPH in the course of the early part of this year. Point 6, governance change and simplified structure. EPH has now become the direct parent of all the core operating subsidiaries. It's a fairly significant move. The cash pool for EPH and these core operating subsidiaries is now well in progress. The roles of CEO and chairman have been separated, with Jan Springle taking the role of CEO and Daniel Kutinski taking the role of chairman. The board has been expanded to 12 members with clear separation of responsibilities. This is a strong, long-term, conservative management team with an exceptional track record and well-placed for the future development of EPH. If we move to page 11, I will pass you to Philip Belak, the Chief Financial Officer of EPH. Philip.
Thanks, Gary. Excellent. And welcome, everyone. What we are presenting today is a diversified group of strategically located assets. In Europe, we are present in 9 countries and operating within 7 key segments. It's super important due to the fact that this gives us certain leverage over the, let's say, performance of the group. And really the results are kind of like well diversified and the EBITDA that we are reaching is then quite stable and also foreseeable. This is due to the fact that we are very well contracted or quasi-contracted and regulated, which means that we have really high visibility of the future performance, and we will be discussing that later in the presentation by Gary. What Gary was pointing out, that clearly with the group being present in 9 countries and 7 segments, we have quite significant impact in terms of production capacities and production perimeters. You can see it in the box. 32 terawatt hours of produced power. If you would be combining that with Slovenska, it would be even more. Then clearly other parameters are equally important, being the storage capacity that is critical for gas infrastructure and stability of gas supplies within Europe. In terms of rating, again, just highlighting what Gary was saying, we got affirmation of the ratings from both Fitch and S&P in February 2025, being BBB minus, outlook stable. What is notable due to the business risk that is now improving due to the various initiatives that we are having either from the past or from the present, being improving the contracted and regulated nature of the assets. We are being also on the watch from Fitch rating, positive watch, from the perspective that the net leverage that we have with them has been recently improved, and we are still investigating how to fare further. Next page, please. This is just a simple overview of the group and of the performance that we are having. Again, just highlighting the key figures, EPH EBITDA for 2025 reached 2.6 billion, which is somewhat lower than 2023, and I will be discussing the individual drivers, which are not that surprising given the situation in Europe and how the past looked like. From the underlying two assets group, which are major contributors to the results, clearly EP Infrastructure being the group with assets that are contributing stable EBITDA across the periods, we see that year on year there was even an uptick in the performance from 1.2 to 1.4 billion. Which was primarily due to the fact that the distribution was being stable, while we had not repeated certain one-offs in Ustream business in 2023. So that's 200 million difference, a positive one. On the other hand, we see on the power generation group that we are roughly 1.2 billion lower, which is not, again, something that would be that much surprising if you look also at the peers within Europe. Clearly, 2022 and 2023 were super years in terms of volatility and underlying power prices. We see now that the situation gets stabilized, but still what I would be adding, the group is delivering significantly better results than it was delivering in 2021. I would rather say like the latest normalized year in terms of performance. So very reassuring results. For completeness, we have also included Slovenské elektrárne that you see and that are not consolidated within 2.6 billion, because at the end of 2024 it was held at equity, 33%, but once we gain control, which is expected in Q2 2025, this year of course, we will be basically adding significant performance to the group. For 2024, you see that the group of SE made 1.7 billion of EBITDA. So very favorable result. If we go on, please. Yes, this is only picturized the result that I was just talking about. EPIF delivered strong performance. We see that we are increasing heavily the share of regulated contracted or quasi-contracted assets within the group, and we will be speaking of that still later. This gives us like fairly good visibility for the future over the cash flows and profitability. And we will see, and we were also mentioning in the beginning that Gary was presenting that we have heavily invested in the past. So we will be seeing over the next years, we will be seeing the results, the fruits of those investments. Again, we are not investing into assets which do not have good profile, and basically the assets can deliver significant portion of their performance in regulated slash contracted activities, which is the key for us. We were discussing that we were closing hard coal fire assets that also had certain impact on the performance, clearly, but it's our commitment to the sustainable future. So we do these things, and we basically at the same time invest into new energy sustainable sources. With that, I would move on, please. Here is the overview of Slovenské elektrárne. I will not be spending that much time on it because it was already discussed by Gary. What is important to be added is the fact that the purchase price for Slovenské elektrárne has been already prepaid. Yeah, we paid it back in 2016 when we did the initial deal with NL. So, I mean, we paid at the time 150 million, that's it, and no additional cash flows will be flowing out from the group. This is super important that you basically then see that we are adding simply the performance of SE to EPH, and at the same time the leverage doesn't really change. What is notable in terms of SE is the current construction of Mochovce Unit 4, which is the new nuclear block that we will be putting into operations towards the end of 2025 or early 2026, clearly depending on the regulatory conditions, etc. But with that, the group of SE would be making probably north of 20 terawatt hours of production every year. So significant improvement from the current 18 to 19 terawatt hours. Also with that, the performance will be also more, let's say, robust and profitable. Notable to say, all of the production is CO2-free, right? So, I mean, there are nuclear blocks, there are hydro. All of these assets have significantly long usability because of the fact that, again, the company has been investing into various development over the last several years, and thus improving the long-term sustainability of the assets. With that, I will be handing over to Peter Durík, Head of Financing of EPH, to guide us through the maturity profile and debt. Thank you.
Thank you, Filip. Looking at the liquidity as of the end of 2024, group's liquidity stood at approximately 6.2 billion euro, comprising 3.3 billion in cash equivalents and 2.9 billion euro in undrawn committed credit facilities, that ensuring a comfortable position regarding debt maturities. Looking at the debt maturity profile, it's well distributed, with no significant refinancing risk in the near term due to proactive debt management. Some key repayments already happened from the beginning of this year, particularly the repayment of 500 euro bond at Ustream in February 2025 and repayment of around 300 million euro Czech retail bonds at EPH level by the end of first quarter of 2025. In February of this year, EPH has successfully also raised its debut samurai loan credit facility, totaling 80 billion Japanese yen, that equivalent of around 510 million euro, with a tenor of 5 years. The proceeds were primarily used to prepay bank club loans originally maturing in 2028, enhancing then extending the group's maturity profile. Handing words to Jerry.
Thank you, Peter. So we move to page 17 of the presentation. And I deliberately start again when looking at the recent developments of the group by confirming that the transition of EPH to a low-emission, vertically integrated energy group is fully on track, with a growing share of regulated and long-term contracted revenues also fully on track. And to demonstrate that, we've chosen two of our core markets, one of which is Italy and the other which is Great Britain and all of Ireland. In Italy, capacity payments for the fleet, the existing fleet, has been awarded for 25 and 27. We have a new 15-year contract for BESS projects in Italy, and our Tavazzano CCGT has been started in 2025, and our Ostelia CCGT is expected to start in the first half of 2026. In the UK and Ireland, we're very pleased that capacity payment mechanisms for the year 27, 28 and 28, 29 have been awarded, all very positive. We have a new 5-year contract for the refurbishment of TINA CCGT. We have new 15-year contracts for the refurbishment of SHB Unit 2 and Langage CCGTs. Edinburgh has a BESS project of 349 megawatts, which has received FID in late 2024. And the Kilroot OCGT, backed by capacity contracts, was commissioned during 2025 and has fully replaced the coal units decommissioned in 2023. I hope you can see, therefore, that by increasing the capacity payments, we are effectively, positively affecting the quality of EBITDA in the upcoming years. In fact, if we look at just these two markets, in total, the awarded capacity market payments for the coming years cumulatively amount to 6.5 billion euros across just three markets. If we then move to page 18, we'll look at some of the developments in EP infrastructure, in gas transmission. The gas flows ceased on the 1st of January 2025. New transmission tariffs were achieved by EPIF, which turns the business into a domestic regulated TSO. Lower earnings, but significantly higher credit quality. This is confirmed. EPIF is now investment grade with all three rating agencies, including Moody's, and all three rating agencies make this assumption on the fact that there is no Russian gas flows. Gas and power distribution continues to be incredibly stable. Now in year three of its regulated period, the WACC has been set for 2024 as per the document. For Slovak storage, we now also have a regulated regime for domestic gas storages, which is fully in place from the 1st of January 2025. International gas storages are still effectively quasi-regulated by the EU recommendation or insistence that storages are full 90% on the 1st of November each year. If we move to page 19, other developments, agreement to acquire NL stake in Slovenska Elektrana, we've discussed. We've also acquired 50% share in West Burton B, along with Total Energies during 2024. This is a 1.3 gigawatt gas power plant with a battery storage system. We also completed the acquisition of the non-controlling interest in EP New Energy Italia, which now means these businesses are 100% owned. And we continue to strengthen the position in our cementitious materials business. We're particularly pleased. In March 2025, EPH, through its subsidiary and Drax Power Limited, signed a 20-year joint venture agreement to produce quality fly ash. Financing update, Peter's just given you that, 500 million new green bonds, 100 million tap, extraordinarily successful Samurai loan, and in fact, an even more successful 3.6 billion bank financing of Slovenska Elektrana. If we move to page 20, this gives you an outline of the new governance of the group. Daniel Kuczynski is now the chairman responsible for strategy. Jan Springel is the full-time CEO of the business. Marek Czerny remains the vice chairman in charge of legal compliance. And Pavel Horsky remains the vice chairman in control of all financial matters. If we then move on to ESG and sustainability, we give you a page on page 22. EPH has continued with its decarbonisation efforts. and it's now aligned its ESG reporting with CSRD. We are, in fact, one of the first businesses in Central Eastern Europe to do so, and we're very pleased with our CSRD report, which is available on our website. In March of this year, EPIF has divested two of its subsidiaries, the operating CHPs, to a sister company of EPH. This has the advantages of taking two more coal plants out of the EPH perimeter whilst they're decarbonized to gas. It removes the capex from there, and it makes a much simpler EPIF perimeter. Pilsenska Teplarenska, which is part owned by the city of Pilsen, will remain within the group. The two CHPs removed will be CCHTs by 2030. We have full grants from the EU Modernisation Fund and, in fact, operating subsidiaries from the Czech government. Decarbonisation efforts, we continue to pursue transformative, low-emission, zero-emission projects. We still are fully committed to abandon coal by 2030. Mehrum was shut in 2024. ML Hushay 6 is in the process of being wound down. EPH has managed to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions by 13% compared to 2023, and our installed capacity in coal is expected to remain below 5%. Green financing, clearly we were extraordinarily pleased to issue our inaugural green finance framework and then a very, very successful inaugural green finance instrument, the green bond, in May 2024. And this will be allocated fully in line with the EPH's green finance framework. And finally, as I said, on ESG reporting, we have issued our corporate sustainability reporting directive. Philip, well done. It's a very, very long piece of paper, but we're very proud of it, so well done to everyone involved. And the first, it's available for anybody to access on our website. We then finally moved to key takeaways, and I think we tried to achieve this in 30 minutes, and we have. So if we move to page 24, and I deliberately do this so that we give you a clear picture of where we're going. The transition of EPH to a low-emission, vertically integrated energy group is fully on track. Combined with a growing share of regulated and long-term contracted revenues, which is also fully on track. The key takeaways, we have large-scale operations and a significantly improved quality of EBITDA. Point two, we have a diversified and resilient business profile. This has been proved over the last 2-3 years, especially through the very difficult years of 2022-23, when in fact we demonstrated that we were able to take advantage of high volatility in the energy markets. Point three, we continue to be risk averse. We have extremely low leverage and a very high level of liquidity. And point four, ESG and energy transition is in the center of our strategy, and we have significantly experienced management team, which have now fully taken their positions on the main board of EPH. As Philip pointed out, EPH is now BBB- stable by both Standard & Poor's and Fitch. Overall, a good year, a predictable year, and everything for EPH in what we're trying to achieve for the energy transition and for a greater share of contracted long-term revenues is on track.